lots better than this. Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Thursday edition of the show. Draft Dudes is brought to you by Built Bar. Remember, promo code Locked On gets you $10 off your first order over at BuiltBar.com. Kyle, it is Joshua Patrick Allen's 21st birthday today.
I don't care.
You should.
Don't care. I still don't care. You know, we have not talked enough
about Josh Allen's birthday.
No, that's not where I was going to go. Oh. I was going to talk about the fizz sticks from Built Bar.
You're not wrong.
So I have a pina colada right now. We've talked about the bars, but like I'm sitting here right now having effectively a pina colada.
It's giving you the same kick to it. Oh, you don't think of two pina coladas from Garth Brooks when you hear pina coladas? You think of that song?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
How does two pina, how did you even say it? Pina?
Pina. What do you call it?
Is it pina?
No, like pina. It's like a tilde over the N. Yeah, pina. Pina coladas.
Okay, so sing me this song.
Really? You don't know Two Pina Coladas by Garth Brooks?
I literally just told you I didn't know.
Oh, my God. I'm not a big singer on the pod, but I feel like I have to right now.
Just like two lines of it, so I can kind of maybe I've heard it and I don't know it.
Just everyone, I'm not bringing out my best singing voice here. This is just to show Kyle the song I'm talking about. It goes, so bring me two pina coladas. I want a one for each hand. Let's set sail with Captain Morgan. Nope, you don't know this song?
I think I've heard it before. And I've been to a concert that had him before, so like I'm sure I've heard it. Yeah. But it's not like if I hear pina coladas, that's not what immediately comes to my mind.
No, it should.
Fun fact, if you mix these fizz sticks with Coke, it goes pretty well too.
What? Because you don't drink water. You hate water this much that you're mixing Built Bar.
No, I'll mix it with water, and it's I'll be fine. But like, if I'm looking for a little fizz, a little pop, a little something to start my morning off right, you know, a little brighten the eyes a little bit. You could mix it in with something carbonated, and like, it's no different than like they do flavored versions of Coke.
Yeah, that's true. All right, fair enough.
And what's the difference between putting rum in your Coke and putting this in it without the alcohol?
You've made a good point. I'm all in your theory there. But
there you go.
Kyle, I'll tell you what, man. It's time to talk about these head coaches. And this first guy, I'll tell you what, man. He's a pretty good coach here out there for the Raiders. And, you know, they're making a big gamble here by moving from Oakland to Vegas. But his coach here, I'll tell you, John Gruden, pretty good.
Pretty good. They were 7-9 last year, right?
Yeah, 4-12 to 7-9. 7-9, third in the AFC West in year two.
Okay, good progress. And they were tied for second with the Broncos.
Tiebreaker has them at third, though. Same record, though.
Yeah. If we're real quick, we're doing four tiers. If you missed the first 2 weeks of or first 2 days of this week when we did this, it's ice cold, lukewarm, toasty, and sizzling hot for the tiers of how hot your coach's hot seat is. I have no temptation to put anything other than ice cold because they signed into a 10-year guaranteed contract.
$100 million. Right, he's going into year three.
So he's got 8 more years of coaching this football team. And like, even if shit goes sideways, you've probably got 5 more years of Coach Gruden no matter what, right?
Yeah, you're not going to eat $80 million or $70 million in money. You're not going to pay him $70 million to not coach your football team.
So
especially for the Raiders who have had cash flow issues.
So that's it. It's John Gruden. And it will be John Gruden for the foreseeable future. Doesn't matter how good or bad the team is, if it's moving in the right direction, like you want all those things to be true.
Yeah.
And I generally believe all those things are true. I think it'll be interesting to continue to watch the subplot with Gruden and Derek Carr and how, mm-hmm. like, is he really the long-term choice for Gruden or not? Opportunity really didn't afford itself to the Raiders to make that pick this year. And, you know, this is kind of they're working on the no excuses for Derek Carr chapter, right? Where it's like, okay, now we went out, we got you. Really good run game. And then we went and got Henry Ruggs, Lynn Bowden, Brian Edwards, we signed Nelson. So it's like you got Darren Waller, who had a big breakout year last year and lived up to all of his athletic potential that he had and some of the preseason hype that made a lot of people, myself included, look very stupid for doubting. Darren Waller was excellent last year. Derek Carr, they have moved into the no excuses phase for him. And I think that's a much more interesting hot seat conversation than Gruden is.
Well, and I think defensively, this football team has added a lot this offseason. You know, the two new linebackers, Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski, they got more depth up front with bringing mm-hmm. in Carl Nassib. Malik Collins is in the building. I really love that they have Rod Marinelli as their defensive line coach. I think that's going to be great for Cleveland Farrell as he goes into year two after being a top five pick. I mean, in the secondary, you drafted Amik Robertson, which I think was a good pickup. Demarius Randall is a nice safety for this group. Prince Amukamara is a veteran to add. Trayvon Mullen in year two. Jonathan Abram comes back. I mean, there's just a lot of good momentum with this football team in general. And so, like, you think if he signed a normal contract, John Gruden, right, like that this would be a really important year for him and really advancing the football team forward. Just, you know, they grew a lot last year, but like, all right, it's time to go do something here. But there's just no scenario where I don't think Gruden's back in 2021. And so it's an ice cold situation.
Right. So let's talk about Anthony Lynn then. Stay in the AFC West.
Yep.
He's got a career winning record. He's mm-hmm. done well with the Chargers. They had a down year this past year, obviously picking sixth. Little bit of Phillip Rivers regression towards the end of his career. The offensive line's been a big bugaboo. They had some big injuries on the defensive side of the football. I don't know, Joe, like I have a really hard time placing a lot of the blame for 2019 at the feet of Anthony Lynn. I don't think Anthony Lynn's the problem in Los Angeles. But if this team stays in neutral or slides backwards, I can envision a scenario in which there will be some calling into question Lynn as the fixture, as the head of the football team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you mentioned last year, Russell Okung was out, Derwin James was out. You know, they still were piecing together like half of their offensive line, which they kind of still are. But yeah, it's hard to blame Anthony Lynn after going, 9-7, 12-4, and then 5-11 with an injury-plagued football team. And I think one thing that I always take away from, you know, when I read about the Chargers, when I talk to people that cover the Chargers, they're very impressed with the culture shift that has happened since Anthony Lynn's become the head coach. And so, you know, I think this is a situation where maybe the results weren't where they want them to be last year. And I think that's football. Sometimes it's just, you know, there's context that goes into it that just makes it hard to compete to the level you think. But I think Los Angeles looks at the situation and feels like they got the right guy. Now, if they really tank this year and struggle, then, you know, it'll bring things into doubt. But I think for the most part, I feel like this organization feels like Anthony Lynn's the right head coach.
Well, and I really like his demeanor. I've been impressed with him. I've had a chance to listen to his combine pressers for the last mm-hmm. 2 years. And I've really enjoyed listening to him talk about the state of his football team and how he's trying to, you know, provide, you know, like you said, the positive culture that's there in that locker room. And Anthony Lynn has a good gauge on that. I would just, you know, knowing that you're in a market in which you really struggle for eyeballs to begin with, you know, as much as the NFL wants Los Angeles to be this big football mecca, mm-hmm. it's not. And if the Chargers, who are the second place team in the Los Angeles market, by the way, if they fall flat on their face again and go 4-12, 3-13, which I don't think is the case. Defensively, this team has a ton of talent. But yeah. If that happened, that would be a scenario in which I could see the Chargers kind of getting antsy and say, okay, we need to make a splash.
I hope not, because they just brought in Justin Herbert, which I think is a, he's not going to be reaching his ceiling in year one, right? I think that's pretty obvious. But yeah, I think, I mean, he's got good weapons. I think there's some pieces on this offensive line. And you mentioned the defensive talent, I think, is really underrated. Like, at all three levels of this defense, you have studs. And you know, Kenneth Murray comes into this situation, and I think that he really brings some excitement to what they have in the linebacker core. But up front in the secondary, I mean, it is rock solid. And I love, like, Nasir Adderley in year two, Jerry Tillery in year two, to go with some of these studs. Like, there's enough here. Like, I think PFF had the Chargers as one of the teams in the running for, like, the top pick in the draft in 2021, like, in the, one of the highest odds. And I don't see that type of talent on this team, and I don't see that type of coaching.
Right. If that materializes, something went terribly wrong for the Chargers. Right.
So do you see a course, I guess that's kind of been an easy way for me to settle on what tier I think they should be in. Do you see a course where Anthony Lynn isn't going to be the head coach in 2021?
I mean, if they end up picking first.
Yeah, but I don't think we see that. So is this more lukewarm? It's not quite ice cold.
Right, and that's kind of where I was trying to spin this towards lukewarm, and that I think his job security is strong, and I love a lot of what they're doing, and the roster's in a good place. But based on the LA market and the fact that the team regressed last year, if the team regresses again this year, then we have something from a change perspective that would be a catalyst for a team that's desperate for positive media press and attention and trying to get eyeballs in a market. They might make what I would classify as a hasty decision, which would be firing Anthony Lynn.
To the Chargers' credit, now they've never been in LA, right, outside of recent history.
Right.
They've not done that, but they're in LA now, and I can see why that would be a thought.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would put it lukewarm, hinging towards ice cold.
I agree with you. So we have two lukewarms, Vic Fangio and Anthony Lynn, and they were both lukewarm, hinging towards ice cold. So
yes, but for the sake of, and honestly, if we didn't have so many other ice cold names, I would probably have been more willing to say, yeah, you know what, Anthony Lynn, let's call it ice cold. But we had a bunch of ice colds between Kingsbury, Harbaugh, McDermott, Rule, Stefanski, McCarthy, LaFleur, Reich, Andy Reid. We just gave John Gruden ice cold. I know we're going to have at least three more ice colds today. So it's like, for the sake of keeping it interesting, like, not every, if everybody's on the same tier, then you need to divide your tiers a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Sean McVay. Pretty impressive resume here for the LA Rams as the head coach. He's 34-17, so he's won 2/3 of his games, 1 NFC championship, 2 NFC West division championships, 1 AP Coach of the Year award, and heartbreakingly close to winning a Super Bowl a few years back.
Yeah. Kyle, at Miami of Ohio, where Sean McVay played wide receiver, for his career in 3 seasons, he had 39 receptions. How many yards do you think he had on 39 receptions?
Sean's not the guy with the biggest stride length.
He's...
So...
Do I have his size? I don't think I do.
He's like 5'8".
Is he that short?
He's
Girls love him. He's 5'8"?
Wow. If you're a successful head ball coach and you're a handsome man like Sean McVay, I think girls are going to love you. Doesn't matter how tall you are.
He is 5'10", is what they say.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So 39 catches. How many yards did he have?
I'm going to say 650.
You had 312, 8 yards a catch, my guy.
I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You surely did. You were not going to come out of the...
But I started with the right direction. I'm like, well, he doesn't have great stride length, so he's probably not, like, he's not a blazer. I'd be willing to bet.
You found out he was 5'10". You're like, surely this guy was getting, like, you know, almost 20 yards a catch.
No. No.
Yeah, eight yards a catch. Jeez. No touchdowns. Poor guy.
I think he's doing all right for himself.
He is. Yeah. And I mean, look, I mean, what's interesting about the narratives with McVay is they go 11-5, 13-3, 9-7. That's 3 consecutive winning seasons to start his career. But there's a lot of narratives right now. Like, has the NFL caught up to McVay? Has his, you know, the secret sauce has been figured out. And I think it's an important year for him to answer some of those questions. But also, I do think that he's got enough of a foundation of success here to say, well, you know what, things are working. So I do believe that he needs to evolve a bit. And I think they did that. They have brand new offensive and defensive coordinators this year. You know, they have their own challenges with the roster construction that are going to be difficult to overcome. But I think McVay has recognized, I think he's done some soul searching and some self-scouting, and he's brought in some different support. And I'm interested to see where it goes, although I don't know that the talent level on this football team is, you know, going to carry it to the postseason this year. But they're not going to be a pushover. They'll be a mediocre team. And I don't know that McVay, you know, look, as a mediocre team this year, if they win 6, 7, 8 games, I don't know that that's going to push him out the door after 3 good seasons to start his run.
No, I can't envision there's any way that McVay gets bounced. I will say this for Sean McVay, though. For all of the narrative regarding him being an offensive wizard and so on and so forth, you mentioned, you know, the questions of has the league caught back up to McVay. I would like to see Sean McVay continue to get more aggressive
in
fourth down situations. You know, I remember the year they went to the Super Bowl. They had, you know, 4th and 1, 4th and 2 situations in which they're opting for 3 points. And those kinds of decisions seem to be, you think about the success the Philadelphia Eagles had with Doug Peterson and how aggressive he is. And this is a new trend, another new trend in the NFL. You know, Joe, we've talked a little bit about some of the dynamics of pass rush versus coverage. As of late, you and I personally have, and that's a new wave and a new trend. And the aggressiveness on fourth down and foregoing, quote unquote, taking the points is another new push. And that's an area of improvement that I would love to see the Rams continue to give more attention to with Sean McVay. But generally speaking, like you said, 3 consecutive winning seasons to start his tenure in LA after Jeff Fisher. Like, let's remember who the coach was beforehand. Jeff Fisher, where it was, there's a reason why July 9th is called Jeff Fisher Day when you're 7-9. And when you become a meme, that's pretty telling for what the expectations are for your football team with a certain individual as your head coach. So let's not turn our nose up. You know, we gave Detroit a ton of a hard time yesterday for firing Jim Caldwell for an average of 9-7 record over 4 seasons, acting like they were above that. You guys historically have not been above that. So regardless of what Sean McVay's team does this year, you're not going to be above the product that McVay's put on the field through the first 3 years going into his fourth year.
33-15 in 3 seasons. Ice cold?
Ice cold. This next one's ice cold, too.
Oh, you got right to it. Yeah. You didn't even say the name of this handsome man.
Oh, it's Brian Flores. Miami Dolphins head coach team went 5-11, started the year 0-7, finished the year 5-4 over their last 9 football games. This might arguably be the most improved roster from a talent perspective based on they had no talent to begin with coming into the offseason.
Might. You can say it. It is.
They are, you know, looking at defensively, the overhaul has been stunning to watch. Offensively, I still think it's a bit of a project. They went out and targeted some offensive linemen who fit the mold that they want, but they're developmental players. But the fact that Brian Flores got the buy-in, right? They sent Laremy Tunsil away in a surprising deal in a trade that was, this is too much for us to pass up for an offensive tackle who wants market resetting money. And he went out and got $22 million a year. If the Dolphins had to pay Laremy Tunsil that now, which is what he wanted, knowing full well, we're probably another 2 years away from being a serious competitor. You're just flushing money down the toilet, right? So to move Tunsil the way that they did and get what they got for him, first return on investment for that was Noah Igbahogany. We need to see what the rest of that trade looks like. And then for the team to trade Minkah Fitzpatrick, which was an even bigger stunner, but Minkah wasn't buying in to what Brian Flores was selling. And you saw what the power was of the buy-in. Once the team bought in, the team went 5-4 with the talent level that they had last year. Everything's moving in the right direction. They just got their franchise quarterback. This seat's ice cold.
Yeah, what, 5-4, including a win that
in New England, week 17, took a team that needed to win to get a postseason bye week.
Pretty damn impressive with a roster full of fringe NFL players, in my view. So, I think there's no other way to be than impressed with Flores in year one. Really interested. What do you attribute? I mean, his staff got plucked. I know they moved on from O'Shea, but like a ton of turnover with his assistants. You know, some of it was Joe Judge going to the Giants and pluck some guys, but like, what's the big narrative there in your mind in terms of so many assistants not coming back from year two?
Yeah, I know Dolphins fans are worried about continuity, but guys, like 50 to 60% of the roster is going to be new this year anyway. So like, for all the lack of continuity in the coaching staff, you don't have continuity in the roster yet either. So forget about continuity. Like, and that's why I think it's important to, from a coaching perspective, to have the right CEO at the top of the chart and the right guy who can facilitate the team culture, which is exactly what Brian Flores did. And that was a big piece of why Chad O'Shea was let go, was he wasn't teaching and coaching his players in a way that Brian Flores apparently wanted, because the feedback, and this just came out, you know, this was the hypothesis, but we got a formal report from the Miami Herald yesterday saying Chad O'Shea was let go because he was trying to teach this super complex offense to a bunch of young players. And if you look at all the coaches that the Dolphins have brought in, they all, regardless whether they were college level guys, I know they plucked somebody from Illinois to coach outside linebackers. They plucked the secondary coach from Cal to come over and work with the secondary because they elevated Josh Boyer to take the defensive coordinator role. And obviously Brian Flores will have a steady hand in the defensive game planning and process. They're all coaches that have been widely, you know, appreciated for their ability to work hands-on and teach. And if you've got a CEO at the top of the coaching staff that wants that universal message, and he goes out and finds guys that maybe aren't the most accomplished, but they fit his vision for how you teach and develop football players, I think that trumps not having a defensive coordinator back for the second consecutive season, because inevitably there's going to be overturn with coaches on your coaching staff from year to year. It's inevitable. It was more than what you would expect from a 5-11 football team, but that's why you have to have the steady hand at the top of the chart.
Well, and I think he also had a very late start after the Super Bowl win with the Patriots, right? He was the last coach to be hired, if I'm not mistaken. And you're not necessarily getting your pick of the litter with assistants. And so that was probably part of the evolution of him getting his staff right, was, all right, now that he's got a bigger sample size to pick from, he can really start to massage that a bit. So
I think it's telling that he went with a veteran offensive coordinator. And remember, they tried to bring Jim Caldwell in as assistant head coach, and Jim Caldwell had some health issues and had to take a leave of absence for the entire season.
Yeah.
He opted for a veteran offensive coordinator, and he elevated a young positional coach to be his defensive coordinator. Brian's working hand in hand with that defense.
Yeah.
He and that's what Brian does really well, is he's deferring effectively. He knows the people are going to deliver the same message that he wants to deliver, and then he's going to let his veteran offensive coordinator cook and construct game plans. And obviously he'll sit in on those and he'll have quote unquote final say, but like having an experienced offensive coach to head that operation was something he tried to do last year and did not get because Jim Caldwell had the health issues and ended up just being a consultant. And then we get to the end of the season and Brian Flores reviews Chad O'Shea and says, well, you know, I gave this to you to do. Our offense sucked for the first, you know, 7 weeks of the season, and Ryan Fitzpatrick had to step up as a 15-year vet at quarterback and help with the install of the offense. That's a bad reflection of you. We're going to go in a different direction. I want a veteran who I know can coach and communicate.
Brian Flores is ice cold.
Ice cold. Something else that is quite good when it's ice cold, Joe, is Built Bars. We've gotten a lot of feedback from our listeners who have had the jump. They've taken the jump and tried Built Bars for themselves. You throw these things in the fridge, you throw them in the freezer, you eat them room temperature. I don't think it really matters what temperature you eat them at, but you know, you can choose whatever adventure you'd like with these Built Bars. And these things are going to be a highlight of your meals for the day, whether you choose to use it as a post-workout meal, a snack, a meal replacement. Built Bars have more protein than an average protein bar. They have 1/7 the sugar and carbs of an average protein bar. And with 110 to 150 calories, they're super light. They're easy to ingest. They're easy to eat. They eat like candy bars, not like leather. So special offer for everybody listening. Don't just take our word for it. Get into the action. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. And you could save yourself $10 off your first box of Built Bar. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your first box. So make the jump. Tweet at us and let us know what flavors you got. And tell us we're wrong. We dare you. Time to talk Mike Zimmer, Joe.
I think so. And real quick, though, reviewing this list of coaches that are on the ice cold territory, I can personally guarantee there's no doubt in my mind that every single one of them eat at least 2 Built Bars a day.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. Brian Flores might be, you're on the 6 Built Bar a day plan. I think he's at least 5 to 7. So
the dude's jacked too.
Yeah.
So I'm not, probably.
You think he can get the most reps of 225 of any head coach in the league?
Oh, geez.
Vrabel's up there.
I was going to say Vrabel's a strong contender.
That'd be the top two though, right? I mean, who else is in this conversation? That's it.
We got to find another one. Hold
McDermott's
on.
McDermott's pretty, I mean, he's not a big guy, but he's, you know, he likes to wrestle. I mean, I'm sure he's high. Mike Tomlin's probably high too.
What about Doug Marrone?
No.
He's a big dude.
Soft.
Wow.
Maybe Dan Quinn.
Joe Judge.
It's a good chance, yeah.
He's got that iron chin.
Yeah.
I would say Anthony Lynn, Brian Flores, Mike Vrabel, top three.
Yeah, I think so. All right, now we can talk about Mike Zimmer with that out of the way. Been pretty good coach there for the Vikings. 59-41 over his run so far. Three playoff appearances since 2014. 2 division titles to his credit. I think there was a point in time earlier in his tenure where like Zimmer was really highly respected on this landscape of NFL coaches for what he was able to do. And, you know, coming out of that 13-3 season, he had won the NFC North 2 out of 3 times. Since then, he's been 8-7-1 and 10-6. I mean, they're a good football team. They're never going to be a pushover with Zimmer. It feels like he's trending well. We kind of know what his teams are going to be. They're going to be tough and competitive. You know, is he going to be able to elevate this team to a championship level? I think that's probably the big task ahead of him. And I know that they're going through some roster purging right now and a lot of reset of the deck here, but I don't know that we question Zimmer and his role as the head coach's football team right now.
No. They've strung together 3 straight winning seasons, but they have been a little up and down. As far as there's a roller coaster ride here, it was 11-5, 8-8, 13-3, 8-7-1, 10-6. You know, if we dip down to 8-8 again, it's like, okay, like what is it about even years that it's just like that's the suck on the Vikings, right? I would say my concern with the Vikings is this: has this roster peaked?
Oh, it already has peaked. It's on the way down. They're to me, they're absolutely restocking right now.
Right. They're in the process. They have to try to simultaneously maintain a winning window with an expensive veteran quarterback who they extended, mm-hmm. by the way, and he's got big cap hits coming up on the horizon whilst simultaneously reloading the deck. I think that's why you saw this team go after so many draft selections, right? They made like
14 yeah.
draft picks. So they brought in a ton of new talent, but like this is, the margin for error here is a team that's trying to win 10-plus games, contend for a championship, and simultaneously turn over the identity of much of your defense
yep.
is no easy task. And that's what they're charged with right now.
Yeah. There's plenty of pieces here. I mean, there's some stars on this football team. There's some quality depths. There's some young talent. But You know, I think this is probably the most challenging roster that Zimmer's had to work with. And I, if you told me this team was 8-8 next year, I wouldn't blink an eye. I feel like that's a reasonable expectation for them. So I don't expect this to be like a big uptick. You know, I think the trend could continue here, but I mean, at what point do you look at it and say, well, Mike Zimmer's inconsistent in terms of being a consistently, you know, 10 plus win football team, which is a difficult expectation to have, but he's shown he can do it. But I don't know. I feel like this team is on a little bit of a downtick, but I don't know that I question Zimmer as the leader.
Right. And this is another one of those teams. Again, you look at the track record beforehand, Leslie Frazier, you know, it was Brad Childress and Leslie Frazier in 2010. They went 6-10. And then under Leslie Frazier, they were 3-13. And then they were 10-6. And then they were 5-10-1. You have to go back to like the Denny Green Vikings to have a consistently winning and high-end playoff contender. Denny Green era, they made the playoffs 8 times in 9 years under Denny Green. And yep. The 1 year they missed the playoffs, they were 8-8. That's actually super impressive.
Yeah. You're doing good things with your football team here. You know, the alternative is not always what you think it's going to be.
Right.
Is it ice cold? Is it lukewarm?
I would give it lukewarm just because I think there is, I can see there being question with him being here since 2014, there being the concern of like, okay, you know, have we plateaued? And if we've plateaued and you've got talent, you know, you see teams like the Dallas Cowboys changing from Jason Garrett because you've got a talented team, you've got talent, you're expecting to compete. And if you've plateaued and flatlined, sometimes that coaching change can be the kick in the rump you need.
Yeah, I blame it more on the roster, but I see what you're saying there. I think this is a lukewarm that teeters probably firmly lukewarm. I think it's probably the right place
for
it.
Yeah, I think lukewarm is the right call here.
Wow, these next two, is there much to say?
No. Do we want to fast track it since we're running along?
I mean,
here?
Really, Patriots, Saints, Belichick, Peyton, they're elite coaches. I mean, what are we going to do here? Blow smoke about how great they are? We know they're great. I mean, I don't want to like mitigate who they are, but Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in NFL history. He'll coach until he says he's done.
Whoa.
Chill out. Sean, 6 Super Bowl championships. Sean Payton, I mean, what he's been able to do with the Saints. I mean, what's interesting there is I do believe that he'll coach beyond Breeze, which is something I wasn't always sure of. But I do, I'm starting to believe that. But he's going out on his own terms. Like they're ice cold. There's not a chance either one of these men get fired.
Yeah. These guys have both coached over. They've both been with their respective teams. Belichick 2000, Sean Payton 2006. They both coached, you know, Belichick over 300 games. Sean Payton's over 200 games. And they both have won 68 and 62% of their NFL games as head coaches. Like, you're not going anywhere. The only way you're leaving is if you decide you want to go.
Tremendous football coaches. A fun fact on Sean Payton. If you have $2,000 sitting around, you know what you can do with that?
No, it's $1,000. It's $1,000.
Oh, you know what you can do? If you have $1,000, it's burning a hole in your pocket. You could pay Sean Payton to do a cameo for somebody.
Yeah, do a cameo. Do a video shout out for a minute.
Was that the most expensive one we found?
That was the
most
expensive.
Like Brett Favre was $300, right?
Yeah.
What
like
was
Troy Aikman was 600.
Yeah.
McNabb was 300.
Bruce Smith $278.
Yeah. Brett Favre 300, like you said.
Yeah.
And then Sean.
I'll do it.
Time is money, baby.
Yeah.
Time is money.
He's got to get those Cheesecake Factory orders in, man.
That's probably a great deterrent to like. Yes, I will do this. I will sign up and be available for Cameo, but I'm going to price myself at a rate that you have to be absolutely insane to actually make me waste a minute of my time to give you a video shout out.
In my past jobs, I dealt with bids and vendors, man, and you would get those vendors that would give you a bid, but it would be so high. Like, we don't want to do this job, but if you'll pay us 5 times the next bid, yeah, we'll do it.
Right. Now, this is fun. I didn't know this. They have like online content creators as well.
Yeah.
One of them is a dog named Puggy Smalls. You can do $10 for a cameo.
Puggy, I'm looking him up right now. Puggy Smalls. He better be a pug.
He is a pug.
All right, he's got a website here. Let's take a look. Does he look like every other pug there's ever been?
Yeah. But he's wearing a flat brim in his profile picture on Cameo.
He is. He looks, wow. What a
$10. I might do it just to find out like a little bit more about Puggy Smalls.
What you get. Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of props. I can tell. Oh, look at, you scroll down the page here. You see him running with that Pomeranian jumping.
No,
over that
stick. I'm on cameo.com. I'm not looking at it.
You got to go to puggysmalls.com. There is a fabulous picture of him with a Pomeranian jumping over a stick. That is
A
fine piece of photography.
There's Pavlov the Corgi for $20. Barkley the dog for $4.
Wow, they don't think very high of it. I mean, you got to be double digits if you're going to waste your time with a dog. Like, not waste your time. If you're going to put yourself through having to record a video for somebody with your dog, I'm getting more than $4.
They have the Cardogians for $5. Oh. It's a chihuahua.
My wife loves Dean the Basset Hound. See if he's on there.
Oh,
can you
Dean?
Search? Dean, yeah.
Like D-E-A-N?
Yeah, Dean. Yeah, he lives in Canada.
Dean the Basset?
Big part of our life here. In my household, Dean the Basset Hound.
Yeah, he's on here.
Oh, what is it? That's, I got to do this.
$45.
Oh, $45. It's open for the $10, Kyle. Yeah. I can get two boxes of Built Bars.
Oh, come on now. A portion of the proceeds are donated to Basset Rescue of Ontario.
All right.
You got to do it.
All right. I'm going to do it.
Excellent. Do you want to talk about Joe Judge?
We better. Jesus. Poor Giants fans are like, you're going to get to my coach.
You know what? To be fair, Patriots and Saints fans got nothing either. So guys, just stick.
What did they expect? They didn't even turn on the show. Oh, head coach hot meters.
Seats. Okay. I'll see you next week, guys.
Yeah. They didn't miss a thing.
Joe Judge, first year head coach. I guess the big variable and wild card here, Joe, is the Giants as an organization strike me as a team that has no idea who or what they want to be right now.
Do they, or do we just not believe that? Like, is it hard for us to see, or do they actually have a plan that we don't want to believe is true?
Well, I would say this. They are on the John Elway Denver Broncos plan as far as hiring head coaches. They're on their third head coach in 5 years. Ben McAdoo failed to make it through two full seasons, one of which they were 11-5. Pat Shurmur lasted two seasons, and now their coaching hire resulted in kind of the most obscure candidate on the market in Joe Judge. Dave Gettleman is the general manager of this team. He was on the hot seat. You know, they thought they might fire him when they fired Pat Shurmur. Nope, we're going to keep Dave Gettleman. Joe, if this team flops, somebody's getting fired next year.
I think it'll be Gettleman.
And if it's Gettleman, okay, then you've just done like the impardonable sin, right? Of we could fire everybody and start new and get everybody on the same page, but we're not going to do that. We're going to hire a coach and then fire the GM next year instead. So now it's like that awkward dynamic of you're going to strap a GM with a head coach. Don't do that. There's no identity for me for this football team. And obviously, like, you look at on the field, you can tell what they're trying to assemble. But if you think about the organization and the structure that they are approaching building an organization with, I have no clue what Giants ownership wants their team to be.
Joe Judge, Jason Garrett, Patrick Graham. Those are your head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. That's pretty good. I mean, Joe Judge, if you're looking for a true CEO of your football team, this guy has coached under either Nick Saban or Bill Belichick since 2009. You know, I like his pedigree. I really do.
You know who else coached under Nick Saban?
We already talked about Brian Flores. No, Nick Saban. Who is it?
Lane Kiffin. How'd he do?
You know who else coached under Nick Saban? I mean, you could.
You know who else coached under Bill Belichick? Matt Patricia is the hottest freaking seat of any coach on that we've done thus far.
All I can say,
I don't care who we work with.
All I can say is that he's been exposed to elite leadership.
Okay.
And I like that. It's not like he came in and he got, you know, I like the makeup of Patrick Graham and Jason Garrett as his coordinator. So, like, if they're looking for that true CEO, you know, type head coach, I think they got it in Joe Judge. I don't think he's going to be one and done, but yeah, if Gettleman goes, then you do, it gets a little dicey, because when your head coach wasn't picked by your general manager, that's challenging. But we've seen that, though. I mean, it doesn't always have to be the case, but
well, more often than not, if that's the cycle you're going to put yourself on, and you've done it in which you fired three head coaches in a span of 5 years, like, it's not super inspiring for the long-term view of the team.
I don't know. I want to be cautious to be critical of Joe Judge.
I'm not being critical of Joe Judge, and I don't think he's on like a warm seat or anything like that. I'm just saying, from the Giants organization perspective, I don't trust ownership, because the last 5 years' track record has been poop. For right. trying to set this organization up for success. So that's I think there are bigger problems in place than Joe Judge. Like you said, like, if he's going to be a CEO type, he can be fine. But I worry about, is this organization putting their pieces in the best position to succeed?
Yeah, one winning season since 2012. I mean, this has not been a very... For a team that has typically been very good, you know, like, this is a black eye
in history.
Yeah, their last 8 years has not been good. So you can look at that one of two ways. It's like Joe Judge kind of has a low floor to walk into, but also, like, they want to get back to that, right? And just always being a consistent football team. So, I mean, before. They had long tenured coaches. I mean, from Fossil to Coughlin, those guys were there for a decent amount of time, and then they farted around with McAdoo and Shermer. I think they're looking for a course forward, and I think I have low expectations for the Giants. I'd be pretty surprised if they had a winning record this year.
Yeah. You know, I like some of the pieces that they have. Like I said, I'm not worried about, you know, talent level. They have a fair amount of talent, but there's a lot of new pieces. And from an organizational perspective, I've personally seen firsthand what a toxic structure and culture and work environment from the top down, without even getting onto the football field, how that can sink fairly talented teams. Trust me, like, I watched for 6 years, I watched Jeff Ireland fight with Tony Sperano, and then Sperano got fired, and they brought in Joe Philbin, and Joe Philbin and Don Aponte team up and fight with Jeff Ireland to Stephen Ross, and Stephen Ross then fires Jeff Ireland, and they can't find somebody to be the GM, so then they bring in Dennis Hickey, and then Joe Philbin survives four games into that season, and then he's fired, and Dan Campbell takes over, and then they fire Dennis Hickey and it's messy, man. And it's, the Giants are a team for me right now that it's like, I like a lot of their pieces on the field, but I worry about the structure of the team and what their direction is in management and ownership, and how that can water down and temper some things that you could get excited about on the field, because they have some young talent.
Yeah. So as we circle this back to the tier for Joe Judge, I feel like you are at a minimum ice cold, teetering lukewarm.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, ice cold.
I don't foresee Joe Judge getting fired after 1 year, unless he gives you the Cam Cameron special and you're 1-15 and it's an absolute disaster.
I hope it works. I hope Joe Judge is a good head coach for them. I really do. I feel I feel a certain way about the Giants, like as a person, just because they knocked off the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl, which you have to love.
Got a little, you're thinking with your heart and, here, not with your head.
And they have a quarterback that people love to hate. And so I think I unite with those fan bases.
Okay.
As we celebrate Josh Allen's birthday today.
Well, happy birthday to Josh.
Thank you.
When you do your magic trick, don't squeeze the cup so hard. You got to be a little bit more subtle so people don't figure out how you did it.
I want credit for that, Kyle.
You did figure it out. Yep. If you didn't see the magic trick, Josh puts an orange under one cup. He twists the cups around. He says, okay, what cup is the orange underneath? And everybody says, it's under that one. And he picks it up, and there's no orange there. And he picks up the other cup, and there's an orange there. And Joe figured out, well, there's a cup under both. There's an orange under both cups. And he squeezes the cup to pick up the cup and make it look as though there's no orange there. So it's a sleight of hand, and it's very clever. But if you watch the video, Josh squeezes the cup pretty hard.
You were pretty impressed, though, with the first few times you saw it.
Yeah, man, I was.
And then I ruined it for you.
Because I'm trying to think, like, is he passing it, like, is he making you look at something while simultaneously doing something else?
Sliding it, yeah. Once you get fixated on how it's being done, it becomes pretty obvious. But, I think we can say you were impressed with Josh Allen there for at least a second, huh?
Yeah, most impressive thing Josh Allen's done at the pro level is this magic trick.
Outside of those four games against the Dolphins, let's be honest. Well,
listen. Well, no, he lost the one.
Yeah, but man, this guy.
Nobody will make an average player look better with consistency than the Miami Dolphins.
I'm just happy you called Josh Allen an average player on his birthday.
Happy birthday, Josh. There you go, right?
Yeah,
like that, right. I remember Rob Ninkovich had like career games every single time he played the Dolphins. With consistency, just like killed him. And Josh has owned Miami so far. So that's the price I pay for being a big hater before the draft. We done here?
I'm good.
All right. We're out of here. Thanks, guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Buy some Built Bar.